Today on the show, some comedy festival highlights, some weird Keanu Reeves news, plus the final Frank check. Or maybe not. We'll see. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the show that's not a celebrity, but I am getting out of here. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Frank Van Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, welcome to the podcast. Final podcast before I go on a holiday to Japan next week, Sunday, when I'm recording this. So enjoy. This is 20th Century Boy, a podcast by me, Radio Mike. It's the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. Weekly one-sided conversation between me and you. You can't respond. You can respond via email or Instagram or however you want to get in touch with me. You'll find me. My socials are out there. But, you know, generally speaking, it's just one-sided. But I hope you enjoy just hanging out with me for 1 hour-ish every week. In the last few days, I've recorded 3 episodes of this podcast that are going to roll out while I'm away, and they were really fun to make, so I hope you enjoy. Because obviously, like, I really want to treat this as a holiday and just, like, away from work and podcasting, so I'm pre-recording everything so you guys don't miss out on the podcast each week. Like, it's not like the podcast goes on a 3-week break, but also I don't have to do the podcast while I'm overseas. And I think that I really enjoyed it. You guys sent in your Q&As. Those episodes are all done. I hope you guys enjoy them over the next 3 weeks. I have a fair bit that I want to talk about today, which is always good. It feels like I'm going to write a blog this week, radiomike.substack.com. I do a fortnightly blog. Generally comes out on a Sunday. So I'm going to write it this week. And the idea, what I've been thinking a lot about this week, and I actually talk about this a little bit as well in the bulk recorded episodes you're going to hear, but I mean, it's been a really crazy week in Australia and the world. And, like, you know, I feel like we've been saying this for a while, but there's a lot of unrest and a lot of people genuinely feel like World War III is incoming. I probably did say that a few years ago though. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but, like, I do feel like, and I wanted to say this, like, this is probably the first time in my adult life where I've been, like, really, like, aware of, like, this world friction, this world conflict, you know, this Iranian drone strike on Israel. And I don't know anything about it, but it's all, like, quite confronting. And I feel like we're in this such a weird time. Lots of stuff happened in Australia over the weekend, which I don't really want to talk about because I don't feel like that's what this podcast is about. It's not just, like, me talking about, you know, crime and news and stuff, but, like, just, it's worth just acknowledging it because this podcast is supposed to be, I guess, a kind of diary or blog anyway of my week to week life. And I think what I want to talk about this week in my blog, so please go and subscribe and read it. There's a bunch of writing already up there, is, like, I think this is, like, my fan theory about the world. I think that the world, I feel like we know this, the world was never supposed to become this connected, this, like, active in a 24-hour news cycle. The world was never supposed to be this. And as humans, we haven't evolved for this, and it's ruining the world. That's kind of the hypothesis I want to bring, because I feel like so much of what's going on, and so much of the world, I think social media has ruined the world. I actually do. And keep listening to my podcast though. But I think, like, just this accessibility to information, false information, misinformation, miscommunication, things that get lost in translation, all of this stuff, the way that information spreads so quickly without any verification, all of this stuff is connected to, I reckon, like, a lot of what's going on in the world. So go and read that. Speaking of that though, like, the world is crazy. We might be going to World War III. However, I am going to Japan, and I'm really excited. And friend of the show and one of our executive producers on Patreon, Patrio Whitey. He is a very he's a regular listener, but he's also a Patreon supporter, which is great. He is currently in Japan. We're actually hanging out one day there. So I thought what I'd do is I'll get him on the line and I'll give him a buzz because, you know, I'm going to be there soon. I want to do like a little report, a little check-in of how things are going over there, you know, just so I can know what to expect while I'm there. Let's give Patrio Whitey a call now. It's ringing. It's ringing.
Mike-san.
Have you been practicing Japanese?
Hi.
How is, well, I wanted to do, I've made a little opener because I want you on to do this. Toot toot. Oh, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's the Japan hype train. Chugga, 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 chugga. It's the Japan hype train. You're already there. You're in Tokyo right now. Give us the around the grounds.
Yeah, there's lots of Japanese people. It's a nice day, a little bit cloudy. The trains are running on time, as always, and 7-Eleven's very busy.
Are you in 7-Eleven right now?
I've just stepped out because it would be very rude to speak in the store. But I'm in Akihabara, right near the train station.
What did you purchase from 7-Eleven?
I got a coffee. I highly recommend the 7-Eleven brand sweetened coffee.
Okay.
And a strawberry cream and custard sandwich.
Oh, so they do have those. I've heard good things about those.
They're in season, and they're only in season for a month or two of the year. And April, May, I think, is around when they're in season. Okay. So I'm very excited. I haven't tried it yet, but I haven't had one in 3 years.
And what is the plan today for your Tokyo trip?
Well, yeah, we didn't get in till midnight, so I think we're all just sort of having a sleep and resting, and then we'll wander around Akihabara where we're staying. Yeah. I love Electric Town. It's one of my favorite places in Tokyo. So I think we'll try and find some little shops and look at video games and... my son's really into Kirby, so we're going to try and find some nice Kirby bowls and merch and t-shirts and things. Yep. We just wander around and have fun.
Oh, amazing. Oh, well, the train is absolutely hyped. Chugga, 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 chugga. And I'll be seeing you in a few weeks in Osaka. We're going to the aquarium. We might hang out after. How are you feeling about
Very
that?
Very exciting.
You excited to see
can't
Big
wait.
Mikey? Yeah?
I do like Big Mikey. You can't use your Big Mikey here, by the way. You need your Suica.
Okay. Hey, thanks for running the hype train through us. Give us one random fact about Japan before we go.
Most people here speak Japanese.
Oh, that's interesting. Whitey, our foreign reporter from Tokyo, on the grounds where I will be very soon. Thank you for being part of the show today.
Choo-choo!
Okay, that's great. Things are sounding good in Japan. Cannot wait to get over there. The hype train is real. Akihabara is great. We're actually, me and Claire booked the, they have like, it's not Mario Kart, but it's like kart driving tours in Akihabara. So we're going to be doing that, which is very cool. Okay. One quick one that I wanted to, shout out. This year has probably been the least I've been out to the comedy festival. Usually I go to heaps of shows. This year, I don't know why, I've honestly just been exhausted. I've only really seen... I saw Sam Garlep show 3 times, which was amazing. And he's actually doing 2 new shows on this Saturday and Sunday. So please go if you haven't already. It's a great show. I'll be there on the Saturday with Claire. I think Jack Post is going as well. So yeah, looking forward to that. But I also saw Will Anderson's show, which is called Willegitimate. And I just wanted to like shout out because obviously worked for Will for many years, went to see his show. He got us tickets, which was very lovely. And it was honestly one of the best shows I've ever seen at the comedy festival. It just felt so relevant to me. And I talked about it. I sent him a text and then I bumped into him, cause he's staying around here in Melbourne. And, the whole show is about like his relationship with his dad over the years and how he like perceived things in childhood, but then had to like reassess them in adulthood to realize that, you know, it was different to how he perceived them, but things that like deeply affected him in childhood into adulthood that his dad said or did, like, he realizes now that they were different to what like he interpreted in them. And it was just so interesting in so many ways. Like, he basically talks about how his dad is 80 and the life expectancy for men in Australia is 82. And he's 50, his dad's 80. There's a 30-year age gap. I realize, like, this year my dad turned 60 and I turned 30. Like, we're the same age gap, 30 years apart. And, like, my dad's 1964, I'm 1994. And it was just really interesting because it felt like a show almost written for me and where I was at in my life, because it was so relevant to thoughts I've been having in the last 18 months about my values and family and like my relationship with my parents and all of those kinds of things. And I just felt like it was so special to hear someone else having similar thoughts as me around like their relationship with their dad, because like I think a lot of boys growing up like have this really strenuous relationship with their dads, but like I look back now and I see how much my dad did for me at his own expense and his own sacrifice, and my mom, but it's like maybe it's just different with boys and their dads, like his own expense, his own sacrifice, essentially giving up his own life and his own joy to ensure that I would have a happy life. And I look at the life I have and I feel really lucky. Like I get to do this podcast. Not many people can do a podcast that doesn't really make them any money, but just do it every week as a hobby, as something they want to do. But like I can, and I can draw a line between that and like the work my parents did as a kid to mean that I could have that life. And I do have mostly I feel like I'm really happy like in my life, which is great. And I owe that. And a lot of that is because of my parents, but there are so many things like you look back on childhood and you're like, why'd you do that to your parents? But then you realize like they would all they were trying to do was set you up to be happy. And I think Will's show was just so articulate. It was sentimental. It was also hilarious, which a comedy show should be. There's like, he's a master of callbacks and like really clever callbacks. And I think just like this, his whole kind of perception of like growing older, watching your parents grow older, cherishing the time you have with family. Like this year, this week in particular in Australia, like I feel like we see that life is so precious. And I feel like that show just spoke to me and made me think, yeah, like family is precious. Your relationships with your parents are precious and you should cherish them and see them as much as possible. You know, my grandmother, my last remaining grandparent, you know, all of these relationships are really special. And I don't know, just, I think part of growing up is like forgiving your parents and realizing they were just normal adults like you. And when you reflect on how screwed up you are, like, I think you realize, oh, okay. Because like Will has this, Will had this part in his show where he talked about how, when he said my parents raised me, like took care of me and raised me for the first 18 years of my life and I was fine. And then basically he says like he took over raising himself from there when he moved out, and then that person didn't do a great job looking after him. Like his parents did a great job looking after him and keeping him safe, but he thinks he did it. And he's like, well, like they did a better job than me. And I think it's interesting. I really loved the show. It was probably one of the best shows at the comedy festival I've ever seen. I found it really special, really important, poignant. Yeah. So if you get a chance, go and see Will's show. It was fantastic. Okay. I want to do a quick one of these before we get into something else.
All the write-ins that you sent in.
All the write-ins is a segment on this show that is basically just a fancy way of saying mailbag. But we got a great email in from one of my favorite listeners of this show who hasn't written in for a while. So it's great to hear from you. If you like, I know people come and go from podcasts, you know, some people weave in and out, some people, you know, sometimes you don't hear from people anymore. There's lots of people who used to be regular contributors that maybe I don't hear from now. There's people who are new that are contributing a lot. Great, all great. But this guy, Radio Ryan Adams, our 50-ish year old listener from Denver, Colorado.
Denver sucks ass.
Has written in. It is so good to hear from you. I miss hearing from you, so thanks for writing in. It was related to me talking about Malcolm in the Middle last week, and I talked about how this and The Simpsons and how they were both presenting dysfunctional families, and he's written in. I love Ryan Adams from Denver.
Denver sucks ass.
Always just puts like his just gives his thoughts on the episode. He just like sends me like a paragraph on different things I talked about on the episode, and I love reading it. So please, like, fashion an email, send it in. It's Radio Ryan Adams from Denver. The Simpsons actually wasn't the first sitcom to have a dysfunctional lower middle class family. In fact, they weren't even the first ones to be a dysfunctional lower middle class family on Fox's Sunday Night. Married with Children came out 2 years before The Simpsons. I wasn't allowed to watch either of them as a kid. Married with Children, I don't know if it was ever, I mean, maybe it was big in Australia because I wouldn't have been alive, but it's that show. I have seen episodes of it, like, that air, they air reruns on TV during the day. It's Ed O'Neill, who would end up being Jay in Modern Family, and Katie Siegel, who is, for me, best known as the voice of Leela from Futurama. But I feel like she's best known as this role in Married with Children, but, like, obviously I never saw that show, but she's the voice of Leela. So there you go. I've never really, like, seen much of that show. I've just seen, like, snippets on TV. That's not why I emailed. One of my favorite bands sings the theme song for Malcolm in the Middle. They Might Be Giants. I do know that. The song is called Boss of Me. It is such a great ska song. And while I'm away, I've actually pre-recorded this little series that's going to go up on TikTok and YouTube Shorts and Instagram on TCB Pod that's, like, overanalyzing TV show theme songs. It was a lot of fun to produce, and the first episode is Boss of Me by They Might Be Giants. So go follow me on all those to make sure you don't miss that. They have a bunch of albums. Have you heard any of their music? If not, I think you should check them out and let us know what you think. Their top songs on Spotify are the best ones. You don't need to get into the deep cuts. So I gotta say on that, with They Might Be Giants, always have known of their existence, and I think Boss of Me is just such a good song, even outside of Malcolm in the Middle. Like, it's a full song. It's not just, like, the 30-second snippet you hear on Malcolm in the Middle. And I actually think, I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain they do the theme to Big Bang Theory. The whole universe was, like, I think they do that song. Could be someone else, but I'm pretty sure it's them. I've never really listened to their music, even though I love the Malcolm song. I've never explored them. I should. I think I'm going to, but I won't be able to talk about it for like 4 weeks now because obviously I'm going away. So I will listen to some of that. The other thing, another follow-up that I need to do that I never did was I talked ages ago, probably a year ago or more, about how I'd never heard a Metallica song. So maybe I do that. While I'm in Japan, I'll listen to Metallica and I'll listen to They Might Be Giants and I will report back. Let's hope I actually do it. He goes on. Since I am here, I think everyone knows who Pikachu is. This is in regards to last week where I was talking about the list of the most iconic video game characters, which was topped by Lara Croft. I thought that was BS. Everyone knows who Pikachu is, but not necessarily that he's from a video game. Most old people would think of him as a cartoon character. Everyone only thinks of Pac-Man as a video game character. He then goes, he lists his top five most iconic video game character. He goes Pac-Man, Mario, Donkey Kong, Angry Birds, and then Sonic. He finishes up by saying, I hope the Donkey Kong ride is amazing in Universal Osaka. Ryan from Denver, Colorado.
Denver sucks ass.
I gotta say, I kind of agree with you on that. Like, I think most people would be like, no, Pikachu is a cartoon character, not a game character. But yes, that character does originate from games, so I count them as a video game character. But you're right. Most people probably see Pikachu in the same ilk as, like, Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny. Like, it's a cartoon character, even though that is not correct. Thank you so much for writing in. Write in anytime. RadioMikePod@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. That's another edition of
All the Ryans that you sent in.
And from one segment to another, we have to go straight into this, which funnily enough references what I was just talking about. Let me be frank with you.
Frank check.
There's the They Might Be Giants Boss of Me song in the background there. Frank check, of course, Frankie Muniz thrust back into public consciousness in Australia for his appearance on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Australia. So many updates on this front, okay? First one that I would like to say is, okay, well, no, I have to do this first. Frankie Muniz, unfortunately, depends how you look on it, for me, unfortunately, has decided to leave the jungle. He has withdrawn from participating in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here after about 3 weeks. Like, I think he did really well. It's only got like a week left, but he has voluntarily walked from the show. I will play a snippet of how this happened, and it's sad. It's emotional. It's quite a long snippet, but I wanted to play it because Frank Check is all about checking in on what Frank has been up to. So, Frankie, here's what he said.
Hey, guys, you mind if I say something real fast?
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect, obviously, coming in. My wife thought it'd be a good break. The weird part is, like, I'm so not an emotional person because I've become just so busy that I'm almost numb. Sorry. But I felt so many incredible feelings here with you guys. And I'm lucky that it was y'all because I know if one person was taken out, my experience would have been completely different. I know you know I've struggled at times. And a lot of the struggle is I'm honestly having one of the best times in my life because I've never laughed or felt emotion like this. But the biggest realization I found, sorry, is in my current situation with my wife and my son, I'm guilty of not noticing what they do for me. You know, hearing my wife say that my son is sad that I don't play chucks with him. And I realized, like, man, I've been home so many days, and when I'm home, I'm not present, and I'm so ready to be present. So everyone knows me, but they don't really know me. I feel like, but from the outside, I think people know me as an actor or a race car driver. But all I really want to be known as is the best father and the best husband to my wife and hopefully a good friend. I love you guys, but I am going to say I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here, and I'm going to go be with my family.
Oh, Frankie.
No. I respect this guy so much. I love this guy. You know, loved him as a kid, but watching him on this show, interacting with like Australian celebrities, one, his time on the show, he's just so normal and relatable. I've always said that about him. Was never one of those child stars that necessarily like flew off the rails. Like, he seems to have it decently together, and that's, you know, that's great. But just so likable, and so much of what he was saying there resonates so much with almost like what I was saying at the start of this pod, where, you know, he's been, all of these people, I respect all of them, who have been, they go onto this show, suddenly they're just alone in the jungle where they don't have their phones, they have no connection to the outside world. And I feel like that would be really confronting for a lot of us. Because again, my base level thing that I do is grab my phone when I'm like, oh, what am I doing? Oh, I'll just look at my phone. I'll go on Instagram. I'll look at the first three posts, check some stories, check my DMs, and then I'll close it. And then I'll open it again 5 minutes later. Right? So I feel like not having that, like we do that like compulsively, we all do. And then not having that, I feel like you're just, you know, when you're doing that, you're trying to cover something else. You're trying to cover some other discomfort. And I think he's found that. And that reflection he's had of like, I'm not present, or he said, I'm guilty of not noticing, and I don't play trucks with my son, and I need to be a better father and a better husband. You got to respect that. And him saying, I'm really enjoying it, but what this has made me realize is that I'm not present enough. I'm not in the moment enough. And I feel like we're all guilty of that. So I think in that sense, Frankie has just had a realization that we can all learn from. And I feel like we all know it deep down again. But Frankie just saying that, being emotional, being open, walking from the show, I respect it so much. And I'm so glad he did this and was there. I thought that he was amazing and I love the guy, which leads me to the interview. So I have some bad news. And it could have worked out. It probably was, it was going to happen, basically. But then, unfortunately, because of really terrible events that happened in Australia over the weekend, Channel 10 decided against doing publicity rounds for the people who had left I'm a Celebrity that week. Usually, after they go, they would be on all the radio stations. They'd do a bunch of publicity, a bunch of, you know, press. But unfortunately, because of something that happened in Australia, they were like, it's not, we're not going to do it. We can't do publicity this week because there's no, like, it's not the right tone. And that's totally fair. And as far as I am aware, Frankie is now making his way back to the USA to be with his family, which is amazing. And I really hope he is happy and achieves all that. It then, the only other thing that I realized I could do was I found Frankie's manager. I found out who represents him, and I sent an email to them saying I would love to interview Frankie. And that's where it's at. I believe another Australian podcast did manage to get Frankie, which is great for them. It's really disappointing to me. I feel really jealous. Because I genuinely think I can do a great interview with Frankie, and like, yeah, it's just upsetting in that sense. But, anyway, that's just how the cookie crumbled. I'll hopefully hear back from Frankie's management, and maybe one day we'll be able to tee it up. Maybe he'll be doing a movie soon and we'll be able to chat. I really hope I can at some point interview Frankie, but apologies that that won't be happening. I know a lot of people were really behind it, but it won't be happening at least anytime soon. On to a more positive note with Frank Check. Last week I told the story of how my mum thought Frankie's name was Muntz. Frankie Muniz's name was Muntz. She must have, you know, mistaken it for Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons. I was at my parents' house the other night, and this is funny because I just talked about, you know, just, you know, respect, love your parents, respect them. And I do, but I do find them funny and I love using them for content. I just decided to poke the bear a little bit more with my mum not knowing Frankie Muniz's name and covertly record it. And my dad's there as well. I found this quite funny. I found this so funny, in fact, that I couldn't not share it and play it on the pod. So here's me trying to get my mum to say Frankie Muniz's name correctly. It's quite long, but I think it's all worth it. So to end this week's Frank Check, here it is.
Wait, so has Muntz been going well? Who is it, Muntz?
Muniz. What's his name?
Did you say Muniz?
Muntz.
Muntz. Why can you, why do you, why do you just not know his name? Like, you know everything that's not his name. You just can't seem to get it right.
I don't even know his first name.
What's Frankie.
His, oh, Frankie.
What's his last name?
I don't know. Can you tell?
You've said so, Muniz.
Is it Muntz?
It's not, you know it's not Muntz.
Oh, Mark, I don't know.
Frankie.
Muniz.
Muniz. Why can you just not get it right?
How do you spell it?
M-U-N-I-Z.
Muntz.
Muntz.
Muniz. What's his bloody name?
It's not Muntz. It's not Muniz. Dad, do you know?
How do you spell it?
M-U-N-I-Z.
Muniz.
Muniz. It's Frankie Muniz. What?
Muniz.
Yeah, you said Muniz.
Well, Muniz.
That's not what it is. Muniz and Muniz are different names. And then you were like, Muniz. It's Frankie Muniz.
Muniz.
Yeah, like music, Muniz.
Oh, yeah. You dropped your wallet, Mike.
That's, yeah, well, you can't say Frankie Muniz.
Okay. It's still funny. My favourite parts. One, what's his bloody name? Second part. when I say it's Muniz, and she's like, yeah, Muniz. I said Muniz. And then last part is right at the end. You dropped your wallet, Mike. Yeah, well, you don't know how to say Muniz. I don't know why I find that so. That's probably the funniest thing that's ever happened on the pod, in my opinion. okay, couple more fun things. First one, these are little quickies. We'll call them quickies. Shrek 2 is back in cinemas, and it's made over $1 million. 20-year anniversary of Shrek 2, admittedly, one of the best animated movies ever made, and personally, I think the best Shrek movie. Okay, Shrek 1, great, sets the foundation, but Shrek 2 perfects it, right? We expand the Shrek universe, we get Puss in Boots, we get Fairy Godmother, we get Fiona's parents, we get Prince Charming. So many extended characters in this universe that we get to meet that really make it. So many good moments. Shrek 2 is great, okay? I think it is so, so cool that Shrek 2 comes back to cinemas for the 20-year anniversary. And imagine making a movie 20 years ago and then 20 years later, it makes $1 million. You'd be pretty happy. It made more in this opening weekend of its re-release than I think the last three Pixar movies, which to me is like, well, I don't know if that's concerning because Pixar movies, I guess they're like original, no one's seen them before, so it's hard to generate interest in them. But they do have the Pixar branding and banner, right? Like lots of people, like Pixar has a lot of power. But then Shrek 2, you know, I guess has the familiarity. People have seen it before and they're like, yeah, it's fun to go and see a movie you've seen before back on the big screen and pretend it's 2004. Because I'm pretty sure they've just put like the original three Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire back in cinemas for the same reason, at least in the US. Again, 2004 vibes. And I just think it's really cool that Shrek 2 is Shrek. Lots of people showed up to see Shrek 2. It made a bunch of money. The Shrek franchise is alive and well. There are, I think Shrek 5 is coming. I don't know if it's a reboot or like a follow-up to Shrek 4. I would probably rather they continue it rather than reboot it. But of course, Puss in Boots 2 ends with Puss in Boots going to Far, Far Away in the post-credits or end scene. And I am well known on this podcast for being the chief theory holder of Shrek originally meaning to be a cinematic universe. There was supposed to be a Shrek CU, and Puss in Boots was supposed to be the first addition to that, but they were going to make spin-offs of, I reckon, a lot of the other characters, but then it just didn't happen because Shrek 4 failed. I was, I reckon, the first person in the world to have that theory, and I believe it's true. I believe it's true, and I believe with Puss in Boots 2, they confirmed it, and now they're giving it another crack, and Shrek 5 will be like the next step to realizing it. But I think we are headed towards a Shrek-o-matic universe. I have talked about it before. I'm reiterating it here. And maybe Shrek 2 going back to cinemas, they're like testing the waters. Like, do people still care about Shrek? And I think it made heaps of money. So like, yeah, I think people care about Shrek. Let's keep going with this. This is an exciting idea. Let's make the Shrek-o-matic universe. And I think that's great. For a while, I think we had people writing in their ideas for movies in the Shrek-o-matic universe, and like, feel free to keep doing that. But I will be closely following, the Shrek world to see what's coming next. Okay, two more things. I actually did this a little while ago and was supposed to circle back to it, but forgot. But a few weeks ago, I did my segment that was Sabrina Carpenter nonsense outros in countries she would never go to. And it's like, Sabrina Carpenter has a song called Nonsense. There's an outro she does and she changes it up in every city. For example, one was like, and they're all like, they are all like quite overtly sexual. And one of them, like in Sydney, was like, he was so big, I felt him in my kidney. Guess that's what they're like down here in Sydney, or something like that. Right. And love them. I love the Sabrina Carpenter nonsense outros. Surfaced again on my feed because she's at Coachella. This one, it's hard to hear in the clip, but this is the most, like, sexually graphic one yet. All about the balls and Cinderella. Only in my mouth that's a cappella. I'm so glad you came for me, Coachella. So it's only, I'm all about the balls, I'm Cinderella. You only use my mouth, I'm a cappella. I'm so glad you came for me, Coachella. Like, it's like, sucking dick. I'm sucking dick. I love sucking dick, which is great. That's good for her. What I realized and talked about in a previous episode is that Sabrina Carpenter, there unfortunately, because of the state of the world, there are some countries that Sabrina Carpenter will simply never go to. And they, sadly, miss the Sabrina Carpenter nonsense outro. So I've made a few. I'm just going to do one today. And it's for a country. Try to guess the country, because you can tell from the rhyme. Try to guess what this one is. He told me that he'd pick me up at 7. He was so late, I waited till 11. Oh my God, I can't believe it's Yemen. Yeah, Sabrina Carpenter in Yemen. What would she... Well, that wasn't that sexual. I don't know if I've played this one. I can't remember which ones I've played. So let's play this one. I look so hot, kept looking in the mirror. But things are not what they always appear. But that's okay, cause I am here in Syria. That one was actually pretty bad. But yeah, she's never going to Syria. They'll never get a Sabrina Carpenter nonsense outro. Okay, final thing. Send in your own. Send in your own. Leave a voicemail. 1-800-438-353. Send in your own Sabrina Carpenter outro. If you've got a contribution to the podcast, there's only one number you see. Go 1-800-438-353. I spoke about a while ago that there were heavy rumors that Hayden Christensen was going to be voicing Shadow the Hedgehog in the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie. Shadow the Hedgehog, of course, the edgy black evil counterpart to the friendly blue blur Sonic. And I thought Hayden Christensen was going to be a perfect fit for this role. He's the Edgelord himself. He's Anakin Skywalker in the prequel Star Wars series, and I thought he would be amazing in that role. But unfortunately, the casting gods are not smiling upon us, because it is confirmed that Hayden Christensen is not voicing Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Apparently, Keanu Reeves, aka Neo from The Matrix, is voicing Shadow, which I don't think is a bad casting decision. I think Keanu Reeves would be great, but I do think he's a bit of a meme these days, and I think that's why they've casted him. But the Sonic movies are a bit of a meme, but Keanu's great, but I was so behind Hayden Christensen being Shadow. I was so behind that. I wanted it to be a thing. The edgiest guy in the world, playing the edgiest character in the world. You know, Shadow the Hedgehog, he's this black and red hedgehog with a gun and a motorbike. I would have loved to have had Hayden Christensen voicing that, but unfortunately not all dreams come true. You know, if you dare to dream, you can sometimes be knocked down, and I dared to dream of Hayden Christensen voicing Shadow the Hedgehog, my boy, but it will not be true this time. It will be Keanu Reeves. I will still see the film. I will still enjoy the film. But I think I would have enjoyed it a little bit more if Hayden was there. But unfortunately not this time. Psst, the plug! Hey, this has been really fun. Let's do it again sometime. Read my blog, radiomike.substack.com. Just search Radio Mike blog. It's on my website. You'll find me everywhere. The plug wise, Harry Potter and the Boys continues to roll out while I'm away. This pod continues to roll out while I'm away. Content on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram continues to roll out while I'm away. Everything keeps going as normal. Check my Instagram. I'll be posting photos from my trip. Just check everything. I'm rolling out a lot of stuff. I'm really happy with it, and I'm really stoked with what's going out while I'm away, but I'm really looking forward also to enjoying the hype train of Japan and, yeah, I'm looking forward to this holiday, another holiday, and I'm hoping to go on another one at the end of the year, maybe to like Fiji or Hawaii or Hawaii. I don't know why I said Hawaii because I hadn't thought of that, but that would be cool. But yeah, I feel free to keep DMing me. I will be checking like my messages from time to time on Instagram or my email and stuff. But yeah, I am trying to do it as a relaxing thing. So if I don't reply, I probably will reply. Don't stress. But that's all. I'll see you live in 4 weeks. But really, to you guys, it's just going to be business as normal. Not going to play the standard outro this time. I'm going to end the show by saying, my name has been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. I'll see you next week. Toot toot. Oh, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's the Japan hype train. Chugga 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 chugga.